Well, let's prepare to get into the Word of the Lord. Got just a few announcements that I want to provide at the end of our time together. But we're going to get into the book for right now. You got a Bible or your iPad or your phone or whatever you're using and want to take some notes, we're going to just do a little study of the book of James, beginning at the 5th chapter, the 15th verse. And the 16th verse is where I'm going to start our reading, but we're going to study beginning at verse 13 all the way down through verse, through basically the end of the chapter. All right, well, let's pray. Father, we are so grateful, thankful to you that you have brought us together again, and we are together at such a time as this. Thank you for the things that you have provided, the technology that you provided, that gives us the wherewithal to remain connected. Thank you for the privilege to be in the body of Christ and be a part of the body of Christ. And every joint supplies, every joint meets needs. We need each other. And that's why we are willing to take not take no for an answer, but to look for and reach for ways that we can press into gathering together around the word of the Lord. You said, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. And Father, we make our commitment that we will assemble together in whatever way that you provide. And we thank you for the provisions you've already given. And we pray in the name of the Lord Jesus that as we seek you through the word of God, that every heart and every life that is sitting under this word will be changed immeasurably by the power and the presence of our God. For we pray in Jesus' matchless name, and we thank you, Lord. And amen, and amen. All right, let's begin. Verse 15 is the, and 16 are the foundational scriptures for our study for tonight. And they read like this. And the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if he hath committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Confess your faults one to another, and pray one for another, that ye may be healed. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. So tonight we're going to study the Word of God concerning the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. Now, in order to have the balance that God wants us to have in any way about anything, We really need to see the context of the passage that we've read and see not only what God is saying, but to understand what God means for us to understand. Words are powerful, but words are not just sentences and a collection of alphabet. No, real words come together in what we call speech so that they can convey knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. Powerful thing to understand about words. Knowledge, understanding, and wisdom. And the Word of God comes to us to give us knowledge, to give us understanding, and to give us wisdom. Good understanding brings the favor of God. We've read that before. We've studied that before. Good understanding brings favor. And when we understand the Word of God, we can operate in it and abound in it and be able to tap into the things that God has for us because we have his word. And in this passage, we see that the prayer of faith saves the sick, and the Lord raises him up. We see that if the sick has committed sins, they are forgiven him, because the Lord does more than raise him up from sickness, but restores him. That's what forgiveness really means. Restores him into favor with God. We're going to deal with that a little bit more as we continue to study this passage. But the thing that I want to start with is understanding the context in which James writes to us. If we start at verse 13, I believe that we can get this context so that we can have the balance and have the knowledge and the wisdom and the understanding that God wants us to have. In verse 13, the word says, "Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms." Now, we are common people, but we do need to understand that we have an uncommon God. And our uncommon God understands that there are real life situations that his common people deal with, and they deal with them with their uncommon God. Because our uncommon God is not a dead God. He's a living God. He is alive. He is alive and powerful. He is more alive. He is as alive as his word is alive, and powerful as his word is powerful. Look here at this real life situation. The people of God deal with this in life. Look at these two categories, and they're kind of extremes. In verse 13, he says, "Is any among you afflicted?" So that's one category. That's one example of the things and the challenges and the emotional issues that a believer can deal with. "Is any merry?" Notice he says, "among you." Among you. He's writing to the church. He's not writing to the world. He's writing to the church. "Is any among you afflicted? Is any merry?" So throughout Scripture, there are many examples of believers having good and bad in life. There are many examples of believers having highs and lows in life. There are many, many, many examples of believers having ups and downs in life. And then there are 1,001 examples of believers abounding and being abased. You can go to Joseph. You can go to David. You can go to almost any person in the Old Testament, and you see good and bad. You can see Abraham with good and bad. You can see Job with good and bad. That's a part of the human existence. That's real. Those are real life situations. Afflictions includes hardship, things that a person has to endure. Now, an affliction, because it's a part of what we have to endure, it means we don't always get to just speak it and it goes away. Sometimes we suffer trouble. And then he also says, then there are ones who are merry. Things are going well. We're in the highs of life. Things are on the up and we are abounding. Merry. So he says, is there anyone among you who is afflicted? If you're undergoing suffering and hardship or any of those kind of things, what does he tell us to do? He says, let him pray. A person who is dealing with hardship, if he doesn't do anything else, he needs to know how to run to God. Praying is going to God. Now, we can get real sophisticated. We can talk about what you need to say when you pray. That's not nearly as important as it is to go to God. Is any among you afflicted? Let him pray. Let him go to God. Is any merry? Let him sing psalms. Let him sing psalms. Now, this word merry is an interesting word, comparing the two. Afflicted, he's talking about someone who's already in the middle of hardship, undergoing it right now, enduring it right now. But the word merry really has more to do with someone who needs to be cheerful. That was a time in the book of Acts where Paul says, be of good cheer. It's the same word that is translated here, is any merry. Is there anyone who needs to be of good cheer? So if you're afflicted, pray. If you need to be of good cheer, he says, let him sing psalms. Is there anybody who needs their spirit to be raised, to be put into a good spirit, needs to have a glad heart, needs to be of good courage? If we are in that place, he says, let him sing psalms. And when I think about happened in the life of Paul in Acts, in fact, if you can hold your finger there in the book of James and flip over to Acts chapter 27 and look at verse 22. Now, Paul had been shipwrecked with many other people, and he had told them, don't you leave this place, because there will be loss of life. He'd given them a good warning, but they didn't heed him, and they got caught up in this storm, and everybody was in the storm. God didn't exempt the man of God from the storm, because the man of God was in the ship with the people who were riding right into the storm. But here, after they were in the middle of the storm, Paul gave them optimism. So here's what the Lord told me to say to you tonight. He says, is there anybody who needs to have their spirit lifted? The first thing you need to do is hear this word of optimism. What is this word of optimism? Paul says, verse 22, he says, now I exhort you to be of good cheer. Is any merry? Is there anybody who needs to be encouraged, who needs to get a lift? He says, because there shall not be the loss of any man's life among you, but we're going to lose the ship. Down in verse 25, he tells them why they should have their cheer stirred. Stirred by something that all believers can hold on to. He says, wherefore, sirs, be of a good cheer, for I believe God that it shall be even as it was told me. He says, I had already gotten a word from the Lord, not about the trip, but about the outcome. I'm on my way to a place that God has says I'm going, and thus God is able to sustain me through the storm and through a shipwreck in order for me to get where God is trying to take me. And I want you to understand that just because you're in your own personal storm, you're dealing with your shipwreck, here's God's words to you. He's saying, is there anybody who needs the spirit lift? Here's my way of saying it. Turn the music on. Hallelujah. turn the music on. Let's sing praises to God. Began to worship him. That word psalm is an interesting word. It's two things that I want to point out to you about this powerful word here. He says this word psalms here literally means to rub or touch the surface of something, like to pluck, to twang, to play on a string instrument like a harp or something along those lines. But it is the celebration of divine worship with music. He says, is there anybody who needs a lift? Then let him turn the music on. And then there's another word here, this same word. It was also, it was not so much a translation, but it was how the word actually looked when you would take the Greek letters and put them into English. It's spelled FUTURE. Powerful to me. Future. Praise has the ability to reach into your future. Praise is not about where you are. Praise is about where you're reaching for. So he's saying, if you are in any kind of way feeling down and you need to be lifted, he says, sing the music of God. Let the music get turned on. Celebrate the praises of God in song and give God the glory as you listen to music, as you praise him with your lips, because it's literally moving you into your future. It's a powerful thing and a powerful parallel to me when I think of what rubbing does, what wiping does, plucking does. All of those words are like words like when I'm thinking about a person in the kitchen, cleaning up the kitchen, and you're trying to remove the debris from the countertop, and you're trying to remove the stuff from the pots and the pans. What do? You rub it. You rub it. You're not rubbing it to make it dirty. You're rubbing it to remove the stuff that you don't want there so that what you want there can become visible and can become seen. And so literally, when I praise God, when I begin to be merry, when I begin to encourage myself, when I begin to be of good cheer, when we begin to do that, we reach into our future. Oh, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Oh, I believe an amen ought to go right there, right there. And look at what he says even further here. I'm back in James. He says, is any sick among you? Now, sickness was in their environment. Sickness comes because we live in a contaminated environment. We live in a contaminated world. There is disease. There's all kinds of things that comes. But the good thing about it, the common people have an uncommon God. Is any sick among you? Here is what he's giving direction to believers to do. Let him call for the elders of the church, and let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. Now I want to push the pause button. And if you are in a place and you can get that little bottle of anointed oil that we gave to you at the beginning of the year, why don't you reach over and get that? Because at the end, hallelujah, we're going to anoint ourselves with oil in the name of the Lord Jesus, because we're going to pray the prayer of faith. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So he says, is any sick among you? Let him call for the elders of the church. Not people who are afraid and timid. He's talking about the mature, the ones who are ready to do battle in the Spirit of God. Let them call for the elders of the church and then do what? Let them pray over him. Let them pray over him. Let them pray over him, anointing him with oil in the name of the Lord. I just have to go back there. At the end of the message Sunday, I was sharing the testimony of Pastor Ulysses Walker when he said that he was finishing preaching after having a stroke that paralyzed him from his mouth all the way down to his foot on the left side. But the saints got over him. They prayed over him. And he said when they got up off of him, all the paralysis was gone. And he had been dealing with that for several weeks after, before that service. I'm here to say to you that God is yet the healer of the believer. And he says, and let them anoint him with oil. And I love to say this about the anointing with oil. Now, I know we got all kind of explanations, but one thing that I love about anointing with oil is where we are saying to God, come down right here. Come down right here. When I, some years ago, I had to have a surgery on my neck. And there was a mass growing in my neck, and they wanted to take a picture of it to see what it looked like. And they got this this thing that had a little bead in it, and it was had tape, and it was sticky. And they put it right on that mass so they could see when they would take the picture of it, they could mark the place. And they were putting it there so that when they took that picture, they could look at the thing that looked through the skin, the X-ray or whatever the other gadget they was using to take a picture of what that mass looked like. And they were able to see exactly where it was. And I said, why did you use that? They said, well, you know, we can't really see skin in the same way when we are looking at the X-rays. But when we put this thing here, it marks the place. And so I'm saying, when you anoint with oil, you're marking the place, saying, Lord, touch right here, right here, right here. I know sometimes when we're having services and people are being anointed with oil, and sometimes it's on the forehead and it's shiny, and then sometimes it's in the hair, and sometimes it's on the hands or wherever the anointing oil is used. I'm here to say, glory to God, while it may not necessarily be important whether the oil is completely visible or running down someone's forehead, the main thing is we're saying to God, we want you to move right here. Anointing him with oil, literally inviting in the Holy Ghost, inviting in the natural anointing, inviting in the spiritual anointing. And when the anointing of God is there, there is freedom. Where the Spirit of God is, there is freedom, there's deliverance, and the yokes are broken, and the yokes are destroyed. Let's go further. He says, verse 15, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith shall save the sick. The prayer of faith. Now, what is the prayer of faith? Now, let's first of all settle that the prayer of faith is not the prayer of words that sound like faith. That's really not necessarily what the prayer of faith is. It is the prayer of confidence in God. What did he say? He says, Jesus says, have faith in God. And then he goes on to say, whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be thou removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. But the main thing is, before you start saying, he says, have faith in God. Because faith is what says to God, I have confidence in you. I have confidence in you. And when the Word of God teaches us in the book of Romans that faith comes by hearing, and hearing comes by the Word of God, The word of faith which we preach is a word that literally helps to nurture, build up, and strengthen faith in God. Strengthen confidence in God. So he's saying the prayer of confidence in God shall save the sick. If a prayer is not a prayer of confidence in God, it is a prayer of doubt, a prayer of unbelief, a prayer of fear, a prayer of expected failure, or prayer of intimidation by the strength of the thing that we are believing God for victory over. But he says, the ones who come to God, oh, thank you, Jesus, the ones who come to God must believe that he is, that's confidence, believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. It is a prayer of confidence in God. What is that prayer going to do? That prayer is going to save, is going to deliver, is going to heal, is going to rescue the sick, and the Lord shall do what? Raise him up. Our responsibility as believers is to tap into and exercise ourselves in the prayer of faith. The prayer of faith. What does a prayer of faith look like? It doesn't look like just one prayer, one sentence, one word, and then we get up and we go. And we don't ever go back to that again. I thank God that God doesn't limit us to the number of times we can bring the matters back to him and exercise our confidence in him. You know about that time when the church was dealing with the fact that Peter was locked up in jail and he was behind the prison walls and he was chained inside the prison. But to God be the glory, the church prayed prayers of faith. And they kept on praying. In fact, the scripture says, and prayer was made without ceasing, without stopping in the church of God for him. They were praying prayers of confidence, confidence in God. If you don't get anything else out of the message for tonight, I want you to just grab a hold to that truth and that reality. My prayers are about my confidence in God. It is about my assurance in God. I know what God can do. I know what God can do. Oh, that's what those Hebrew boys were saying. We know that he is able to deliver us, but if not, we're still not going to bow because they had confidence in God. And a prayer of faith is a prayer of confidence in God, not a prayer of fear, a prayer of begging with fear that somehow the thing that I'm dealing with is more powerful than the God that I serve. No, a prayer of faith is a prayer that says, if he doesn't do it, I am confident that he is able to do it and he will do it. My confidence is not just that he's able. My confidence is that he will do what I'm believing him for. Glory to God. The prayer of faith, but it is not confidence in a thing. It is a confidence in God. It will save the sick. And believers must surround one another with the prayer of faith. And during this season, as we are laying our needs before the Lord, as we are bringing things up before the Lord, and we are laying issues before the Lord, and laying our families before the Lord, and laying our own health and our own finances and our own concerns before the Lord, here's the word from the Lord. The Lord says, the prayer of faith reaches the sick, wraps the sick up like, if you would, it's like throwing a lifeline to the sick. Because It is the prayer of faith that gives a person the confidence to continue until the Lord shall raise him up. God has always been the kind of God that he expects his children to reach for him, and then he responds to them. He's always been that kind of God. He wants us to reach for him. That's the prayer of faith. He says, when we pray that prayer of faith, if you do it individually, glory to God, it's like anchoring yourself down to what God can do. Can God? Will God? Will I be made whole? Well, my faith and my confidence is, that's got to be the believer's thought. My faith and my confidence is that God will save the sick. God will rescue the sick. God will deliver the sick. And the Lord will raise him up. And then here's this other piece here, the next part of this verse, verse 15. It says, and if he have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Now, there are a number of reasons why this is important, but let me just give you a few of them. One of those reasons why this is important is because, first of all, God is not just interested in our physical well-being. He is interested in our spiritual well-being. When a person comes to God, they must believe that he is and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So as I am believing that God is all of that, that's where salvation comes. That's where forgiveness comes. That's where restoration comes. So God is making it clear that I'm not saving you just to lose you. I'm not healing you just to lose you. And I heard a man of God say the other day, and I thought it was most interesting, when he says, I'm not into this stuff where we get babies in and people are born again and we tell them, go to church of your choice. He says, no mother in a hospital who has a baby and travails until that baby is born and then tell the baby, go to the mother of your choice. No, we always say that, mama, that's my baby. And I tell you what, I think sometimes believers need to begin to respond to the things of God. Same kind of way that whenever God saves, God lays claim. God heals, God lays claim. God delivers, God lays claim. So he says, if he's committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. He's talking about restoration. I probably need to drink a little something here because I cannot not let my voice play out on me. Not when we are right here at the precipice here. Glory to God. He says, if they committed sin, they shall be forgiven him. Here's another reason why this is important. If a person has committed sins, and there were several times where Jesus dealt with people and brought them deliverance, and then told them, go in sin, go in peace and sin no more. He brought them deliverance and told them, don't do this anymore, lest a worse thing happen to you. He made it clear that God wants to not only save and raise up, but he wants to keep you up. But here's what the enemy does. He begins to torment the minds of people sometimes, and they begin to wonder, because of my failure, because of my sin, because of my disobedience, or because of something going on with me, that somehow that God is going to hold it against me. To be forgiven means that the debt is canceled. The debt is gone. The responsibility is no more for that sin. It has already been fully satisfied. And God is letting us know that when that prayer of faith is prayed and he saves the sick and God raised them up, he's letting us know that it is important for even the one who is sick to know that if there's any sin there, it's forgiven. The debt's paid, because that's what redemption, Hallelujah. That's what redemption is really all about. Look at the next verse here, because this is good too. Confess your faults one to another and pray one for another. Now, I know we usually get into this part about confessing your faults, and then I even heard people say, well, confess your faults and don't confess your sins. Well, I'm not trying to get into the semantics of that right now. What's most important here is this is really the way believers often act, and the believers often deal with each other. They are willing to confide in one another and talk about things with themselves and going on in their lives. But here's the part that we sometimes fall a little short, and we just need to tighten this up, because we may confess, but the part that the believers need to do, this is where the healing comes. This is where the victory comes. If you tell me, if a brother tells you or sister tells you that this is a situation in my life, this is a problem in my life, this is a habit that I've got, he's saying that the healing doesn't come unless you pray for one another. If there's even unforgiveness going on in us, he says that healing comes as we pray one for another. And we need to pray one for another. I love the song that Hezekiah Walker put out some years ago. And a part of the song is, I pray for you, you pray for me, and watch God. Watch God change things. Watch God change things. Watch God change things. Pray one for another. Pray one for another that you may be healed, that you may be healed, that you may be healed. And God is able to heal us everywhere we hurt, and in everything we hurt, and in every situation we hurt. And it doesn't matter what the name of the matter is. God is saying, I'm a healer of that too. I can heal that too. I can deliver from that too. And never let sickness ever rise up into a place of an idol in your life where you see it as more powerful than your God. Oh, no. Every knee has to bow at the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Every evil one has to bow at the name of the Lord Jesus. So he says, pray for one another that you may be healed, because healing is possible. Next part of the verse. The effectual, fervent, hot, heated, fiery prayer of a righteous man avails much. And sometimes, here's the devil. He always wants to stick his head up in things. And he says, all right, look at your life. Now you know you're not that righteous woman. You're not that righteous man. So, well, what's wrong? Well, remember, you got angry the other day, and you got this the other day. That's where you got to say, no, I got on my knees, and I said, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name, thy kingdom come. And I got to the part was forgive us our debt as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory. And because I pray that God has forgiven me and God has cleansed me, and even if you got all your words, devil, I thank God that the blood of Jesus is the thing that makes me righteous, and every day I go to him so I can get a good washing, 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 stay under the blood and stay in the word, because we are clean through the word. Hallelujah. And because the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man. And I want to tell you, if you said yes to God, you're one of those righteous women. You're one of those righteous men. What does it do? It avails much. It avails much. It profits much. It accomplishes much. The effectual, fervent prayers of the righteous gets the job done. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter how long it's been there. It avails much. And know this about God. He never intends for us to pray and nothing much comes to it. He is not the kind of God that says, seek me, and then, oh, well, you know, I'll see. No, that's not God's nature. He says those prayers avail much. And if we don't get anything tonight, we need to get this about this prayer of faith, this prayer of faith. It's a prayer that believers pray, the righteous men and women of God pray, and God says it avails much. The word avails literally means it's strong. It's strong. The prayers of a righteous man is strong. It is a strong thing. It avails much. It has a force with it. Oh, don't let the enemy deceive you. Your prayers have a force. There's a force. No, the devil can't resist your resisting him in prayer, because there's a force with it. Oh, I know we've talked about those people who had these things on television, and they even said something about may the force be with you. I'm telling you, the force is in you, in your prayer, in your ability to call on God. The prayers of a righteous man avails much. It accomplishes much. Let's look at the next verses, because here the word of God tells us about one of those men, one of those powerful men. He was an Old Testament man, but he was standing in a place of prayers, and his prayers availed much. His prayers were a powerful force and accomplished much. Look at that, verse 17. Elias, that's the New Testament spelling of Elijah, was a man subject to like passions as we are. James is saying he was a common man, just like the rest of us. A common man. A common man. He was so common that after he did what we're going to read about here in verse 17 and 18, a woman said to him, named Jezebel, said, I'm going to take your head off. He ran for his life. He ran for his life. But let's read on here. Elias was a man subject to like passions as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it might not rain. Now, a little caveat here. God had already told him I'm going to shut up the heavens so there's not going to be any rain. But he was praying in line with what God had already said and God had already revealed. He prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. Oh, thank you, Lord. That's good. Let me tell you something. Oh, hallelujah. When God has already spoken to you about a matter, about your life, about your future, when you begin to bring every threat up to God and say, Lord, you told me that if I did this for you, you would supply that for me. You said if I did this part, you would do that part. You said if I would go in this direction, you would bring me in that direction. Now, Lord, I wasn't necessarily asking for it, but you revealed it to me. You called the man of God or the woman of God to speak prophetically in my life. They didn't know me from anybody else. But Lord, I grabbed a hold of it, not as the word of a man, but as indeed the word of the Lord. And Lord, I'm standing on it. Here's where the believers have got to come. Hallelujah. This man of God prayed that what he had sensed and what he had received as God speaking to him and directing his life, he prayed that God would fulfill his word. And I want you to know this. When you have an attack of the enemy against your life and against your body, I want you to just pray that God will finish what he said he was going to do, that God will fulfill his word. And that's what this man did. He did this. He prayed for 3 years and 6 months that God not let it rain. And then when God told him, I'm ready to send the rain, the man got on his knees and prayed again. That means he was hearing God. That means his ears were open to God. And as he heard God, he began to pray again. And he prayed until God opened the heavens. You know that story. He told his servant, go out and tell me what you see. And the servant says, oh, I don't see anything. And he kept going and he went for multiple times. And finally he came back and he says, I just see a cloud, a little cloud. It's like a man's hand. And he said, that's it. He got up and began to run because he says, I hear something. What do you hear? I hear the sound of abundance of rain. He prayed again and the earth, the heavens gave rain. And look at what God did. The earth brought forth her fruit. I want to end with that. The prayer of faith brings a fruitful life. Oh, thank you, Jesus. The prayer of faith brings a fruitful life. I want you to take that bottle of anointing oil, and I want you to get a little bit of that out of that. Glory to God. You don't have to pour the whole bottle on your head, but if you want to, then just let it rain. Hallelujah. But take some of that, and I want you to place it right on your forehead, right on your body part where you need God to touch, where you need God to deliver. If that's your arm, there's your chest. If that's your head, if that's your on your eyes, your ears. Glory to God. Now, Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you that you said the prayer of faith shall save the sick and the Lord shall raise him up. And Father, right now in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you that your word is alive and powerful. Fulfill your word. Confirm your word. Bring healing, bring deliverance, bring victory in the name of the Lord Jesus. You gave to me to anoint this oil, to consecrate this oil. And Lord, right now, I have released it already to your believers. And you knew this time would come. This call would come. And in the name of the Lord Jesus, I thank you that healing is coming in our bodies. Deliverance is coming in our bodies. Help is coming in our bodies. Favor is coming in our lives. In the name of the Lord Jesus, and even on our loved ones, we thank you right now that deliverance is here, that the turnaround is here, and the glory of the Lord is being revealed in Jesus' name. Now open your mouth and praise God right where you are. Thank God. Hallelujah. Bless you, God. I love you, Lord. I'm so appreciative. This is so good to me. Thank you, God. Hallelujah. My future is bright because I have a God. The prayer of faith saves the sick. And you raise them up. Thank you, Lord, that your child has been saved, has been rescued. Hallelujah. The lifeline has been thrown. And now, Lord, we believe you to raise them up. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord. And amen. And amen. And amen. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. To God be the glory for the privilege to just come together around the word of God for tonight. Now, here's what I need to say. I want to talk to you about the next part. When we're at, when we're in our place of worship, we come to this part where we give to the Lord. And I want to say to you that your church still needs your support. Glory to God. Hallelujah. We still need your support, need your tithe, your offerings. Glory to God. If you cannot get to do it online, praise God, drop it in the mail. You can send it to our post office box. It's P.O. Box 1900 Jackson, Mississippi. And the zip code is 39215. Or call one of the deacons and they will serve you. We have four deacons, Brother Reuben, Brother Eric McNeil, Brother Weber, praise God, Brother Norman, any one of them. You just call them. They will serve you because we want the house of God to continue to be supported and that there will be no lack in the house of God. As you take your gifts, as you take what you're going to give to God, and we're going to receive the offering for tonight, and I want you to raise it up to the Lord as you honor him with your substance. Now, Father, whether your children are giving online, are giving by writing out a check, that they're going to make sure it gets to the house of God, we thank you right now that you give seed to the sower, and you give bread to the eater. and you increase the fruits of our righteousness as we give to you. And Father, we pray right now in the name of the Lord Jesus that you will cause the bounties of blessing to come to our lives, that you will rebuke the devourer for our sake in the name of the Lord Jesus, and that there will be no need. And during this time where there are many people who are getting downsized, laid off, other things like that, Father, we thank you right now in advance, because we are tithers and your word is working for us. Father, I pray that you will give ample supply to all of your children. Meet every need. Meet every need. And we thank you for that, and we bless you for that. Hallelujah. Cause the windows of heaven to open wide, and pour out blessings that there's no room to receive it in the name of the Lord Jesus. Well, if you're going to give tonight, you can text to give. Let me just get that number. Praise God. Hallelujah. I'm going to look at it. I think it's on the website. Praise God. Or maybe I send it by email. Yeah, I send it by email. Praise God. Hallelujah. You can text to give. And you got the email. You got that the number that should be there. Praise God. But if you didn't get the email, then the text number is 601-228-3131. Or just go to the website, and the address is www.harvestcelebration.org. And if you go there and click on the Give Online link, you'll be able to give online. I thank you so much for joining me and joining us for this time of worship. And I pray that God's riches and best will continue to be yours, and that you will see the power of God and the grace of God come to pass in your life, in Jesus' name. Now, Father, we thank you for our gathering together, and in the name of the Lord Jesus, glory to God. Brother Reuben, go on and unmute us. Glory to God. We pray in Jesus' name that your help will continue to be ours, that you will heal our land, that you will heal our land. Every person that is ill, every person that is sick, every person who has experienced this diagnosis, in the name of the Lord Jesus, stretch forth your hand to heal. Raise them up. All of those who are in the hospitals, raise them up. All of those who are confined at home, raise them up. Bring healing and heal our land. Heal our land in Jesus' mighty name. And we thank you, Lord, and we bless you, Lord. Watch between all of us while we're absent one from another in Jesus' name. And everybody said amen.